Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22, and we'll begin our reading here in verse number 23. Matthew 22 and verse number 23. The Sadducees have come trying to catch Jesus in his words, and Jesus, as usual and with great effectiveness, he attempts to help these people and show them their error. And we see some wonderful truth here. Matthew chapter number 22, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second, also the third, unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine." Now we come to this passage of Scripture, and Jesus is having a conversation with the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were a group that were notorious for what they believed. It was a whole group of people who had kind of come together under the same umbrella, and their umbrella was, we don't believe that there's a resurrection. They denied spiritual things from the Old Testament. They did adhere to some of the Mosaic law, but they didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in life after death. They were the people who were smarty pants at the time and had tried to somehow declare how bright they were and declare miracles and the work of God not true. And so the Sadducees, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in life after death. These Sadducees were folks that had gathered together, and now they said, we're going to try to stump Jesus. By the way, if you ever try to stump Jesus, if you ever try to confuse Jesus, or you try to disprove Jesus, you will always find yourself lacking. Jesus has stood the test of time for ages and ages, and he still stands true, and he's still changing people's lives even today. And Jesus can be trusted. They tried to stump Christ. They tried to confuse him. They tried to mess with him. They tried to prove their point in opposition to his own belief and his own doctrine. And Jesus simply, after he hears an interesting story, did you hear the story as I read it? The Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. So they said, we've got this kind of funny story, a hypothetical question. And he said, there was this woman, and she married a man with seven brothers. Number one, husband died, and according to the law of Moses, when the husband died, one of the brothers was to marry that wife. That kind of seems foreign in our culture. Kind of seems odd, doesn't it? But in their culture, this was normal. As a matter of fact, there was a provision in the Old Testament to the Israelites, the seed of a man, a son to have a child, to continue his name, to continue his heritage, was very important. So the law, according to Moses, was this, that if a man has a wife and he has no children to that wife and he dies, it was appropriate for a kinsman to marry the widow in order to give seed to that man. The first child that the brother and the wife had and the widow had was the heir of the dead son. Does that make sense? You remember the story of Ruth? The whole story of the book of Ruth is based on that principle. So if son number one died with no child, then son number two was to marry the widow so that son number one would have an heir. If it's not clear yet, maybe it'll be clear later. We'll keep working on it, I promise. So the story of Ruth was based on this principle. Now, the Sadducees were trying to twist things around, and they come up with this crazy story that probably never happened. If it did happen, it was extremely strange. They said, okay, here's what we want to know. If husband number one dies, brother number two marries the widow, then brother number two dies, brother number three marries the same widow. We got one woman, so far three men. Number three dies, number four marries her. Number four dies, number five marries her. Number six dies, we're starting to get suspicious of the wife, right? Yeah. Number six dies, and number seven dies, and none of these seven men are able to have a child with the widow, but they all were married to her at some point in time. When we all get to heaven, she's had seven husbands. Whose is she in the resurrection? Whose is she? Well, it was as silly as the story is. The story was that silly to Jesus also, because Jesus just makes something really plain. Now, you may not like this truth, but it's true just the same. You know, in heaven, heaven is not exactly like earth. Really? Did you know that? Heaven's not exactly like earth. And there is no need in heaven, because nobody dies in heaven. Amen. There's no need to reproduce. So Jesus just says, now look, you err not knowing the power of God, and you've confused the scriptures, and you think somehow that heaven is just, a resurrection is just some kind of, it's just earth except different, a different place. He said, look, heaven's different. And there will not be this giving in marriage and giving in the marriage for the purpose of reproducing. We'll all be known as we're known, and heaven is going to be better than you could ever imagine. But Jesus just says, now look, you got it all wrong, and your question in light of truth doesn't even make sense. They come with this crazy story. He says, look, we're going to be like the angels in that we don't reproduce like that. You're not thinking clearly. And as he says, as a matter of fact, let's just take this away from this peripheral story, this crazy story about one woman and seven men, and she's probably a murderer. Let's just take the story from this crazy thing out in left field, and let's just bring it down to the truth. Jesus says, let me just show you your real problem. How many of you would like to know the real problem? I'm the kind of guy that let's just cut to the chase. Let's just get right down to the bottom line. How many of you are bottom line people? That's the way I am. Just don't sugarcoat it. Just tell me. I'm ready. Let me have it. So Jesus gets down to the bottom line. And he looks at these Sadducees and he says, here is the bottom line. Verse number 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. He says, look, your crazy left field question is a direct result of the fact that you have erred. The word err simply means to go astray. He says, you've gone astray because you do not know the scriptures. Jesus holds them personally accountable to know the Bible, to know God's word. You do err not knowing the scriptures, number one, and you do err not knowing the power of God. You see, they had stepped away. They had gone astray. They were erring. They were in error because they did not know the power of God and they did not know the scriptures. They didn't know the scriptures. Folks, I want you to know something. All through the Bible emphasizes its own importance. We look in the Old Testament, and all through the Old Testament, reference was made to knowing the Scriptures. Every characters in the Old Testament, they would reference and they would put their trust in the Word of God. And we move into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we meet up with the authors of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And over again, the authors emphasize the importance of the Scripture. And Jesus, all through his ministry, refers to the Bible and Bible stories and Bible characters. And he does the same thing here in just a few minutes. You see, the Bible has such a wonderful place and this necessary place in the lives of God's people. We must honor it. We must love it. We must study it. We must know it. And as we know the Scriptures, we do not err from the truth. We don't become guilty of the same issues and sins of the Sadducees and the Pharisees when we know the Scriptures and the power of God. The Scriptures and the power. He says, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. That's the message today. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. That's the title, and we'll ask God to bless his word as we preach and teach God's word this morning. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is this group of people, the Sadducees. Look at the Sadducees as we study the Bible together. We'll begin in verse number 23 and walk our way through this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said if a man die, and they start telling this story. But the first thing I want to bring to your attention is just simply the two words, the Sadducees. The Sadducees. I always like to make the joke that, and it helps me remember that they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So the Sadducees, they were a group of people who had gathered themselves together under a certain title or a certain set of beliefs. But the Sadducees were very wrong in many ways. Do you know that we are, by our very nature, sectarian people? What's that mean? That means we want to pick our group. We want to choose our side. We want to pick our team. That's our nature. But I'll just have you know something. The matter of truth, we should not allow sectarianism to affect that. We shouldn't allow my choice of a team or my choice of a denomination or my choice. We shouldn't allow a group of people to dictate to us what is true. And Jesus said, hey, look, Sadducees, you've messed up because you've committed yourself to the Sadducees as opposed to knowing the Word of God. You've erred because your authority has become some group of men, and you've neglected the Word of God. Your authority has become some group of men, and your power is the power that your group has as opposed to resting in the truth of the Bible and the power of God. Look, we make a terrible mistake, but we are naturally sectarian. We naturally pick sides. Some people like Virginia Tech. Amen. Other people like UT. Some people like Chevrolet. And other people like Ford. You see, I'm just kidding. I don't have a Ford belt buckle on. I thought about wearing a Ford belt buckle today. Wouldn't that have been great? Some people even like LSU. Can you imagine that? I see them up there. There's even a few worthless nuts around here. Go Buckeyes. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. And we like to throw those things around. And I'll just have you know something. There is nothing wrong with rooting for your team. And all God's people said amen, right? There's nothing wrong with that. None. But I'll have you know something. In matters of eternity, you should not pick a team. You should pick an authority. Don't pick Baptist. Don't pick Methodist. Don't pick Church of God. Don't pick some denomination. Pick God's Word. Because people through the ages have been wrong about things. There's nothing wrong with being wrong. Did you know that? Hallelujah, because I'm wrong all the time. Ask Ruth. Nothing wrong with being wrong, but I'll have you know something. There is something wrong with being wrong and being unwilling to hear from the authority, which is God and His Word, and being unwilling to change when God shows you that you're wrong. Now, the Sadducees had identified with this group of Sadducees, and they were wrong. They had a few things right. You know, they adhered to some of the Old Testament scripture. They had a few things right. They didn't like the Pharisees and their religious tradition and the rigid ritualism of the Pharisees. They had some things right, but I'll just have you know something. They had some things terribly wrong because they were unwilling when Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to them and told them the truth. They were unwilling to change their ways because they were so attached to the Sadducees. You understand? Let's not get there. Let's not be there. My allegiance, the only flag that Cody Sturgill's going to wave is the flag that says Jesus Christ crucified in the Bible, the Word of God. That's my authority. Let God be right and everybody else wrong. I'm going to rest in the truth of God's Word. And I'm going to tell the truth the best I know how. And I'm going to teach the truth resting in God, and I'm going to submit to the truth with God's help, and I'm going to try to do it with the Spirit of Christ and the love of Christ and joy in my heart. But let's not be guilty of the sin of the Sadducees. They picked a side as opposed to picking God and His Word, and their authority was way off basis. They were sectarian. Then they tell crazy stories. Do you know what you'll do? If you pick your answer before you hear the truth, you will tell any kind of story you can to prove yourself right. We see this happen with children all the time, do we not? Children decide what they want is right. Children decide that what they've decided is correct. Children have decided that I don't care what anybody says, and they'll tell the awful stories trying to prove themselves right. That's what children do, and adults. And a lot of times, people who call themselves Christians, they'll tell the awful story trying to prove something that they want to believe just because they want to believe it, or they've always believed it before. And in spite of the facts, and in spite of the Bible, and in spite of truth, in spite of Jesus telling them what's right, they'll choose what they want to believe as opposed to submitting to the authority. Look, if a good doctor looks at you and says, hey, you've got cancer. You've got cancer whether you admit it or not. And God in heaven has prescribed a plan and truth, and we should submit ourselves to that truth and recognize who He is and forget about our once allegiance to a sect, a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a denomination, and make the Bible our authority, and make the power of God something that we can trust in. By the way, the power of God is something you can trust in. And rest in truth. Jesus looked at these Sadducees, He said, you do err. You do err. You're going astray because you do not know the Scriptures. Look what else the Bible says here in verse number 24. I'm sorry, verse number 23. Which say that there is no resurrection. Well, what had they decided? They had deduced in their own thinking, in their own logic, that there is no resurrection from the dead. They had just said, nah, we don't believe that. And because they didn't believe it, they would do anything they could to disprove it. As a matter of fact, they would go so far to disprove it, they'd make up some kind of silly story. The story, I've already told to you, I won't tell you again, was about of seven brothers, one wife, and a big mess, right? It was silly. It didn't make sense. It was way out there. It was a hypothetical question. How many of you have ever been addressed by somebody who's trying to prove themselves right with some type of crazy hypothetical question? You turn the news on, you'll get this all day, every day. The spin and the twist. Well, that's what these guys were doing. They weren't able to just say yes or no. They weren't able to just to be frank and honest. In order to prove their point, they had to come up with some kind of crazy story. Some kind of crazy story. Guess what this spirit of the Sadducee does? It leads you to silly hypotheticals. I'm reminded of a joke for the nature of the Bible story. There was this lady in prison. She was sitting at the table talking to one of her fellow inmates, and Her fellow inmate said, "What are you in for?" She said, "Murder." "Really?" I said, "Yeah." "Who'd you murder?" She said, "My seventh husband." "Oh, really? Okay. Seventh husband? How'd you have seven husbands?" "Well, they died." "Really?" So the lady, kind of wanting to find out a little bit more, she said, "Well, what happened to your third husband?" She said, "Well, I cooked him a big breakfast one morning. He ate his pancakes and just fell over dead right there in his chair." "Really? Man, I'm so sorry. It's terrible." She said, "Well, what happened to your fifth husband?" "One morning, I got up and fixed him a big breakfast. He's sitting in his chair, he ate his pancakes and just fell over dead." "Really? Well, what happened to the seventh husband?" She said, "I hit him in the head with a skillet." "What? Why?" "He wouldn't eat his pancakes." These stories are silly. And I'll just have you know something. If you attempt to stand in opposition to the Bible, I'm not talking about, you don't have to worry about standing in opposition to Cody. I'm just a man. But if you attempt to stand in opposition to the Bible and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth that the gospel changes lives, if you try to stand in opposition to that, before you know it, you're going to run down this rabbit trail that leads to some of the most silly stories and silly logic and irrational thinking that in your flesh will you'll justify, and the Bible will have to say about you, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. First people we see are the Sadducees. Number two, let's look at the Savior. I love what Jesus does here. And all through the New Testament, we find Jesus answering his issues and facing his burdens with the Bible. By the way, what a great example. Do you know that you can face your issues and face your burdens with the Bible, and the Bible will not fail you? Look what the Savior does. We come to our text, verse 29, Jesus answered. What was Jesus' answer for the Sadducees? He wasn't being snide. He wasn't being a smart aleck. He was being loving and compassionate. He points them straight to the problem. He says, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures." Jesus said, "Now look, if you knew the Word, then you wouldn't have this problem. You need to learn God's Word. By the way, if you'll learn God's Word, it will alleviate a lot of your problems. If you'll study to show yourself approved, you'll find out that God's Word will help you. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. It'll be a bright spot to you in a dark world. The Bible's alive and well, and it's wonderful. Rest in God's Word." Also, he says, "You err, not knowing the power of God." Folks, how often we wring our hands in fear and worry when all we really need to do is just rest in the power of God. Trust in the moving hand of God. Trust in the love of God. Trust in the miracle-working power of God. He says to these Sadducees, he says, "You need to know the power of God, because the power of God not only can raise the dead, but it can change your life. It can help you." Jesus points them to the Bible. The Scripture says in verse number 30, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Jesus teaches them a simple Bible truth, that heaven is different than earth, that God's power is able to do things above and beyond what we could imagine or think. Jesus points them to the Bible. By the way, if Jesus believed that the Bible was the Word of God, don't you think we should? If Jesus turned to Scripture in time of need, don't you think that we should? If Jesus believed the Bible was authoritative, don't you think we should rest in that same authority? If Jesus went to the Bible in times of need, don't you think that we should too? Oh, the Bible will come up and it'll help you over and over and over again. The Bible answers our questions. I remember as a teenager, I was faced with a major decision. I mean, major decision. And I'd heard Brother Fred in our Wednesday night youth meeting talk about the sufficiency of the Scripture. And I was just an ignorant teenager. I didn't know what to do, but I went by myself and opened my Bible, and I began to read the book of Philippians. And you know what? Before I knew it, God had settled my heart, and God had given me an answer. Now look, that doesn't just happen by chance. God works through His Word, and you can turn to it. You want some help? Find it in God's Word. He says, and something that Jesus says, it's interesting to me in this passage of Scripture, is, have you not read, is what He says. Look what the Bible says in verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read? What's He looking at? He looks at these Sadducees, He says, look, guys, you claim to believe the Bible to a certain extent, but have you not read where the Bible says? Honestly, ask yourself this question. We have our doubts and fears and struggles. How long has it been since you actually read the Bible? The first thing the devil wants to tell you is you read the Bible. You read a little passage of Scripture and you go cross-eyed because you can't seem to understand it. The devil wants to tell you, you can't understand that. That's a lie. That's a lie. You can understand it. You can understand the Bible. You can learn from God's Word. Have you read it? Have you read it lately? Man, it's wonderful. Jesus points them to the Bible. Their question was so far away from unreasonable that He just has to say, look, here's what the Bible says. You know, the Bible answers big questions. Here's one. You ready? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Huh? The chicken. Did you not know that? You can open your Bible. Don't do it right now. Genesis chapter number 1, the fifth day of creation. God created the fowls. The Bible says that God created the fowls of the air that fly in the firmament. God created a chicken with the ability to lay an egg. It's all settled. You don't have to worry about it again. The Bible answered the question, right? It's silly, but it's true. God answers our questions. God meets our needs. And as we conclude this message, Jesus illustrates the power of the Scripture. Number 3, the Scripture. He uses the Scripture, but He illustrates the power of the Scripture. And here's the question. The big question with the Sadducees was the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in spiritual things. And so Jesus says, okay, have you not read? Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. What's He saying? Jesus says, now look, have you not read in your Bible, Exodus chapter number 3? In Exodus chapter number 3, God said to Moses, they had just quoted Moses. Remember that? Moses said that you could take this, the widow, the brother should take the widow. Have you not read in Exodus chapter number 3 when Moses said, when God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Have you not read that? Well, yeah, we've read it. He said, God said to Moses, now listen, Moses was alive hundreds of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died. Hundreds. Hundreds of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God looks at Moses and says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham. I am present, right? I am at this moment. He said, I am hundreds of years after the death of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am at this very moment. I am right now the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Jesus says, this is what God said. And He says, I want to remind you of something. Verse number 32, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He says, when God said this hundreds and hundreds of years ago, yet hundreds of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead. When God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, he was referring to the fact that he was their God right now and they were alive and well. God is a God of resurrection and resurrection power. Jesus said, look, the Bible said it. You've just failed to acknowledge it. The Scripture was alive. The Scripture did the work. The Scripture proved the point. The Bible says in verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now there's a couple responses to the truth of God's word. One was the Sadducees. There's no doubt that there was a large group of Sadducees after Jesus exposed their error, proved for them from the Bible that there is a resurrection. From the words of Moses, from the Word of God, there was resurrection. There's no doubt that the Sadducees, a group of them, walked away disregarding the truth and sticking to their guns as Sadducees. But the Bible says when the multitude heard Jesus teach and explain the Word of God, the multitude was astonished. Wow. The Bible does say that. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is true. There is a resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the Messiah. There is hope beyond the grave. The multitude heard his doctrine. They're like, wow. I don't know about you, but it happens to me quite often. It's one of the joys of being a Bible preacher. I get to open God's Word and study and read. I don't add anything to it. I don't take anything away from it. I just try to just read it and study it and figure out what it says. And I read these little truths, and there's nugget after nugget after nugget of gold. And I'm always astonished at the inerrancy of Scripture. I'm always astonished at the sufficiency. It's all sufficient. Sufficiency of Scripture. I'm always astonished at the healing power of God's Word. And when I see these little gold nuggets of truth that show up in every passage and on every page of this book, the God-breathed Bible, I'm encouraged by the fact that God is speaking to me and God loves me and God has not left me in this wicked world alone, but He's given me a light into my path and a lamp for my feet, and I can trust in the Word of God. And when I see this story, and I look at those Sadducees, they walk away with their head hung low, still waving their banner of Sadducee, defeated by Jesus. I see them walk away, and my heart breaks, because all they had to do was simply say, wow, it is the Word. Jesus is the Savior, and I'll trust Him, and I'll trust Him. Jesus says the only reason you've got so far out of whack is because you err. You err not knowing the Scriptures. Folks, I want to encourage you to do something. Make a new commitment today to the Word of God, to the person of Jesus Christ. You don't double down on a denominational tag. Double down on the truth of the Word of God and the truth of a Savior that went to the cross and paid the price for your sins, that you might have everlasting life through faith in Him. It's all about Jesus and His Word. What did He say to those guys? He says, the reason you're so far off base, He says, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures. I'm so thankful we hold in our hands the living Word of God. And it will change you and help you and encourage you when nothing else will. It's the Word. Let's not err. Let's know it. Let's know it. With God's help as He teaches us.